This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. There's a thing that happened in this economy 10 years ago yesterday that was in some ways a warning of how bad the recession was going to get and at the same time a giveaway as to how little we actually knew about what was coming. January 22nd, 2008, early-ish in the slow-motion collapse of the American economy, the Federal Reserve announced pretty much out of nowhere that it was going to cut interest rates. A lot. Our year-long project on the financial crisis and its aftermath is called Divided Decade, how the past 10 years have changed this country and this economy. People have changed, of course, but so have some of our economic institutions. First among them, probably, the Fed. The Fed works hard, real hard, to be boring, to be as predictable as possible. So with that in mind, Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson takes us back 10 years ago this week to when the Fed decided it was better to be bold.
Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke stared at the screen of his Bloomberg terminal on Martin Luther King Jr. Day 2008, a holiday, but not for him. He saw steep declines in Asia and Europe. It looked like fears of a recession in the U.S. could be taking hold in markets globally. We know now that things would get even worse in the coming months. But then?
We were struggling. Was this going to be a downturn like other downturns and you managed through it, or was it going to be more serious than that?
Thomas Hoenig was president of the Kansas City Fed at the time. He was also a voting member of the Federal Open Market Committee, which sets interest rate policy for the Fed. So Hoenig got a call that MLK Day. Bernanke wanted to hold an emergency video conference so the FOMC could approve a pretty dramatic cut in interest rates, 0.75%, triple the adjustment the Fed might make in calmer times. Hoenig was undecided.
I did not know how I would vote. I had anticipated that we would have a meeting in a few days, but I did notice the data coming in, and I did notice that there was evidence of weakness.
It wasn't just the stock market, which had lost 10% of its value in the first 3 weeks of the new year and was expected to lose another 5% the following day. Throughout the fall of 2007, there had been clear signs of distress in the housing market and a credit crunch among financial institutions. Earlier that January, Bank of America announced it was buying the failing subprime mortgage lender Countrywide. Just the week before, Merrill Lynch and Citigroup had taken a combined $35 billion in write-downs. The Fed staff had cut its growth forecast for 2008 to a wimpy 1%, though it wasn't yet predicting a recession. Some committee members immediately supported Bernanke's rate cut. Others, including Hoenig, struggled.
Were things deteriorating as badly as the data was perhaps previewing when you didn't actually have a long trend of that? Do you want to act too soon, which may actually encourage fear?
Cutting rates that much and doing it outside a regularly scheduled meeting might spook markets more than they already were. But acting now might reassure people, show the Fed was willing to do whatever it took to steady the economy. Bernanke favored action. He actually called his memoir of the crisis The Courage to Act. And the next day, the Fed announced its rate cut.
It's not like where were you when Kennedy was shot kind of thing. But as a historian, I can tell you that it was an extraordinary day.
Peter Conti Brown is a professor at the University of Pennsylvania.
I think this is an important canary in the coal mine to show exactly how the Fed is going to approach its own conception of its emergency authority. We see that the Bernanke Fed is truly going to do whatever it takes in order to sustain its economic mission.
In the coming months, that would mean loaning billions to J.P. Morgan Chase so it could buy Bear Stearns, and lending billions more to insurance giant AIG. It would mean cutting the federal funds rate to near zero and the start of multiple rounds of quantitative easing, buying trillions of mortgage-backed securities and treasuries. All those actions had lasting consequences. For the economy, yes, but also for the Fed. Alan Blinder is an economist at Princeton.
The external image of the Fed changed enormously. Both the parts of the public that pay any attention to this and, importantly, the Congress were basically wowed by the Fed's power. Most of them had no idea that the Fed could do all the things it did.
Blinder thinks the Fed's response made the financial crisis significantly less severe than it might have otherwise been. But the timing of Fed actions, whether it should have done more or less, that's still debated. By 2009, the Fed had the lowest public approval ratings of federal agencies in a Gallup survey. Back in 2003, it was near the top. Here's Peter Conti Brown again.
I think one of the lessons, for better or worse, of the 2008 crisis and the Fed's decisions after the fact are that the Fed should tread lightly and should be extraordinarily deliberate when it deploys its extraordinary powers. because the political consequences are immediate.
He says separate from the economic lessons of the financial crisis, that political backlash might make the Fed less willing to flex its muscles in future crises the way it did 10 years ago. Reflecting back on that 2008 rate cut, Bernanke wrote in his memoir that he initially thought it was working, that maybe the Fed had things under control and we'd reached the beginning of the end of the crisis. As it turned out, he'd come to understand we were only at the end of the beginning. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.